Shalom Hadavarnix. Welcome to Hadavar Messianic Ministries and our School of Biblical and Jewish Studies. We're studying the prophet Ezekiel. This is the 2022 edition of the class, and we are now in session 25. Session 25 begins in chapter 26 and verse 1. So let's go ahead and review our previous session real quick-like. In our previous session, we were looking into the seven nations that were being judged by God, seven nations that surrounded Israel: Ammon, Moab, Edom, Philistia, Tyre, Sidon, and Egypt. Now, as we move into our new material, we're going to be looking at Tyre, the judgment upon Tyre in chapter 26. So the fall of Tyre is described in verses 1 through 6 of chapter 26, with the date beginning in verse 1. Now, in the 11th year, on the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came to me, saying. So we have a new subject, and it's precisely dated at the 11th year of King Jehoiachin's exile. This would be the 11th year of King Jehoiachin's exile. It would also be the 11th year of Zedekiah's rule. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar replaced Jehoiachin with Zedekiah after 3 months. So it's 586 BC. It's the same year as the destruction of Jerusalem. And that can be confirmed in 2 Kings 25, 2 through 4, 2 Kings 25, 8 and 9, Jeremiah 52, 6, and Jeremiah 52, 12. Let's take a look at 52, 12 here. Now, on the 10th day of the 5th month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the bodyguard, who was in the service of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. So now the prophet's present time and the destruction of Jerusalem have finally come together. In chapter 25, verse 17, we were in the tribulation, the second coming, and the kingdom. But then when we moved into chapter 6, verses 1 through 13, we come to the merging of the Babylonian exile and the near future, the destruction of Jerusalem. They are now both happening at the same time, merged together. Now, exactly which month is not stated by Ezekiel, so this must be the closing days of the battle for Jerusalem. So now we move, that's the date of the destruction of Tyre, and now we move to the cause of the judgment upon Tyre, and this is chapter 26 and verse 2. Son of man, because Tyre has said concerning Jerusalem, aha, the gateway of the people is broken. It is open to me. I shall be filled now that she has laid waste. So the problem, the cause of the judgment, the root cause is anti-Semitism and greed, expressed through this cry of glee, aha, aha. And the cry of glee is amplified by the statement, she's broken, that was once the gate of the peoples. In other words, Jerusalem had been a center of commerce. She had competed with Tyre economically. For example, trains, trading trains coming up from Africa or from the Arabian Peninsula would reach Jerusalem first, these trading caravans. So that would be a competitor to Tyre. But now Tyre says her wealth is going to be turned over to me. See, there's going to be no competition between the Arabian Peninsula and Africa. They're going to come to me, and I'll be replenished while she is laid waste. So Israel's control of the trade routes is now gone, and that's going to profit Tyre. Now, a description of the judgment is in verses 3 through 6. First of all, it'll be a destruction by invasion in verse 3. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Tyre, and I will bring up many nations against you as the seas bring up its waves. All right, because of verse 2, this anti-Semitism and greed, God says, I am against you, Tyre, and I will cause many nations to come against you. And all these nations have attacked Tyre over time. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Ptolemies, the Seleucids, Rome, and even today, the area of Tyre is inhabited by Arabs today. So, Babylon initiated a long series of judgments against Tyre by many nations. And a simile is used to describe this phenomena. The simile is as the sea causes its waves to come up. The picture is of the constant pounding of the sea against the shore, against the rocks. And so Tyre experienced constant pounding by the nations that came against her. And this is very appropriate because Tyre was not only a coastal city here, but Tyre was also an island city. This is where the citadel was, island Tyre. So these two halves of the city of Tyre received wave after wave after wave of invaders. So the destruction of Tyre is now highlighted in verse 4. They will destroy the walls of Tyre and break down her towers. I will scrape her debris from her and make her a bare rock. So the walls of Tyre are going to be broken down. This refers especially to coastal Tyre. Now here's the region of Tyre after the fall of the Northern Kingdom. Here's the region just north of Israel in what's known as Lebanon today. And of course within the region of Tyre is the city of Tyre, both the coastal and the island city. And so the coastal Tyre was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar for 13 years. 13 years he tried to destroy that city, and he finally succeeded in 572 B.C. He destroyed coastal Tyre. Now, island Tyre, of course, about a half mile off in the Mediterranean Sea, island Tyre eventually fell to Alexander the Great in 332 B.C. Now, that's important because God says, I will also scrape her dust from her and make her a bare rock. And that was fulfilled when Alexander used the rubble of coastal Tyre to build a causeway to island Tyre. Now, here's a nice artist's illustration of Alexander the Great using the rubble of coastal Tyre and to build this causeway, to build this bridge, a half-mile-long bridge across the Mediterranean to the island of Tyre. And here's a map of that. Here's Alexander the Great's coastal bridge that he made. This causeway that he made, this bridge. Now, over the years, the area between coastal Tyre and island Tyre filled in with silt and dirt, and eventually connected island Tyre with the mainland. And so this is what we have today. Here's modern Tyre today. You can see it's a little peninsula sticking out into the Mediterranean Sea. All that silted in and filled in, and we have a totally different coastline at this time. But after each destruction, Tyre recovered and still exists, as you can see here, in its modern form. There's the modern form of Tyre. Now, the results of this destruction in verses 5 and 6. She will be a place for the spreading of nets in the midst of the sea. For I have spoken, declares the Lord God, and she will become spoil for the nations. Also, her daughters who are on the mainland will be slain by the sword, and they will know that I am the Lord. So she's going to be a place for fishing, spreading fishing nets in the midst of the sea, in the Mediterranean there. So people won't necessarily be living there, but they will be fishing from that area. And God says that he guarantees this. You know, he declares this. He has spoken. It's going to happen. And he also says she'll be a spoil to the nations. And again, many nations will ravage her. Babylon, Persia, Greece, Ptolemy's wave after wave after wave of nations coming against Tyre. God says her daughters in the field will be slain by the sword. This is speaking of the mainland and the surrounding territory, the daughters of the villages and the suburbs. So there'll be a destruction of the surrounding villages of Tyre. But ultimately they shall know that I am the Lord. This will convince many that Israel's God is the one true and living God. Now the means of destruction is described in verses 7 through 14. And two means God will use to destroy Tyre. The first one is Nebuchadnezzar in verses 7 through 11. And please note the use of the singular pronoun he and his. Those pronouns are going to be used because they focus on Nebuchadnezzar, this singular king. So we start in verse 7. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I will bring upon Tyre from the north Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, king of kings, with horses, chariots, cavalry, and a great army. All right, he's going to bring Nebuchadnezzar on Tyre, and he describes Nebuchadnezzar three ways. He's the king of Babylon because he's over the capital city of Babylon, which is, of course, the capital city of the country of Babylon. So he's the king of Babylon, but he's also the king of kings. This is because he's over his subject kings, the kings that he's conquered, like Jehoiachin and Zedekiah, the Jewish kings. He's the king over these kings, so he's the king of kings. And then the attack comes from the north, and of course, Nebuchadnezzar had to take his army, his huge army, up over the Fertile Crescent, and then he would come down upon Tyre from the north. Now, the Babylonian army is also described in this verse. It consists of chariots and horsemen. These are powerful weapons of the day. Today we would think of tanks and armored personnel carriers, and then infantry, and then it's much people. The size is immense. It's a huge army that he brings against Tyre. So in verse 8, we look at the destruction of the suburbs. He, Nebuchadnezzar, will slay your daughters on the mainland with the sword. So that's the mainland cities, of course, are destroyed first. And then he lays siege to Tyre proper in verses 8 and 9. And he, Nebuchadnezzar, will make siege walls against you and cast up a ramp against you and raise up a large shield against you. And the blow of Nebuchadnezzar's battering rams he will direct against your walls and with Nebuchadnezzar's axes, and Nebuchadnezzar will break down your towers. So the tools of warfare and siege are all described here: forts, mounds, bucklers, shields, battering engines, swords, axes, all the stuff that's needed to attack and besiege a city are described. And so all this was fulfilled in Nebuchadnezzar's 13-year siege of Tyre. Wow, 13 years before she succumbed. 586 to 573 is the duration of the siege against mainland Tyre. And now in verses 10 through 11, the destruction of the city is brought forth. Because of the multitude of his horses, the dust raised by them will cover you. Your walls will shake at the noise of cavalry and wagons and chariots as he, as Nebuchadnezzar, enters your gates as men enter a city that is breached. With the hooves of his horses, he will trample all your streets. Nebuchadnezzar will slay your people with the sword, and your strong pillars will come down to the ground. All right. By the reason of his great number of horses, their dust will cover you. So he had an immense cavalry battalion. So immense that the walls of your houses will shake at the noise of the horsemen and the wagons and the chariots. This is the thunderous noise of the plundering army coming through the city. He'll enter your gates. The defensive walls will be breached, and the hooves of his horses will tread down your streets. The cavalry now thunders through the broken wall, and the defenders are slaughtered, and the strength of Tyre is totally shattered. All right, that's Nebuchadnezzar's destruction of Tyre. But now God moves on to talk about others who will destroy Tyre. Remember, Tyre is going to be hit with wave after wave after wave of hostile enemies. So this is the others that he's talking about. This is the second means that God uses to attack Tyre. Here, the scope of the prophecy is broadened to include the other nations mentioned in verse 3. So now we begin, and by the way, note the plural pronoun here. Not he or him anymore, but they or their, you know, plural pronoun. So the destruction is brought out in verse 12. Also, they, these other wave after wave after wave of enemies, also, they will make a spoil of your riches and a prey of your merchandise, and break down your walls, and destroy your pleasant houses, and throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. All right, so here's the destruction described. They're going to steal and make spoil of all the riches of the city and break down its walls and destroy its houses. And now the important, the big prophecy, they'll throw your stones and your timbers and your debris into the water. Well, Alexander the Great literally dumped Tyre's rubble into the water, into the sea, and built the half-mile-long causeway out to the island in order to conquer it. Very literal fulfillment. A very literal fulfillment of that prophecy. And there's the causeway again. Now we move to verse 13. There'll be a secession of a number of things. First of all, in verse 13, "So I will silence the sound of your songs, and the sound of your harps will be heard no more." So there's going to be a secession of singing, a secession of music. Nobody's going to be living in the town anymore. They're going to be ravaged and mourning, not singing and playing harps. And secondly, there'll be a cessation of the city itself in verse 14. "And I will make you a bare rock, and you will be a place for the spreading of nets. You will be built no more, for I, the Lord, have spoken, declares the Lord God." So I will make you a bare rock and a place for spreading nets, and you'll be built no more. And this is guaranteed. This is guaranteed by the Lord. Well, the problem is that he's talking here about island Tyre and coastal Tyre. The problem is that Tyre exists today. You know, so what's the conventional explanation of the fulfillment of this prophecy that she'll be built no more and she'll be a place for spreading of nets and a bare rock? Well, the conventional explanation centers around the archaeological ruins found here. Now, this is ancient Tyre. It was a little bit south of island Tyre. And if you go to those archaeological ruins, here's kind of a close-up, you'll see that indeed they're the ruins of a city and it has not been rebuilt. And so that is the conventional explanation, that this is the fulfillment of God's statement that he guarantees that Tyre will never be rebuilt. Well, I think that's kind of a rather weak explanation of the prophecy. So I'm going to present you with a better position in just a few verses here. Okay, just a better position. All right, now as we move into verses 15 through 18, we come to the lamentation of the princes. And that starts with the reaction of the colonies to the destruction of Tyre, verse 15. "Thus says the Lord God to Tyre, shall not the coastland shake at the sound of your fall, when the wounded grow, and when the slaughter occurs in your midst?" So the coastlands here are the colonies that had been established by Tyre. The problem here is that the mother city is gone, and so their source and livelihood is threatened. And here's a map of the Phoenician colonies, the colonies that Tyre set up. A good number of them all across the Mediterranean Sea, all on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea and on the islands in the Mediterranean Sea. And so with these trading colonies, Tyre dominated the Mediterranean area. Now we come to the reaction of the princes. We just looked at the reaction of the colonies. Now we focus in on the princes in verse 16. "Then all the princes of the sea will go down from their thrones and remove their robes and strip off their embroidered garments. They will clothe themselves with trembling. They will sit on the ground and tremble every moment and be appalled at you." So this is the reaction of the princes. But who are these princes of the sea? Well, they're the merchants. These are the merchants, the businessmen who are presiding over each colony. And they're mentioned, for example, in Isaiah 23:8 as well. "Who has planned this against Tyre, the bestower of crowns, whose merchants were princes, whose traders were the honor of the earth?" See, Tyre rewarded those who did a good job managing their colonies. They became princes. They were the leaders of the colonies. So they're going to come down from their thrones and lay aside their robes. This is a sign of official mourning. Another example of this kind of behavior is in Jonah 3:6. When the word reached the king of Nineveh, what did he do? He arose from his throne and laid aside his robe from him and covered himself with sackcloth and sat in ashes. So this is exactly what the princes of Tyre do. Whether they put on sackcloth and ashes, it doesn't say, but it's very likely that they could have. So this is just official mourning behavior. And so what they talk about here in verse 36 is all mourning practices of the day. And then the words of the lamentation are brought out in verse 17. They will take up a lamentation over you and say to you, how you have perished, O inhabited one, from the seas, O renowned city, which was mighty on the sea, she and her inhabitants, who imposed her terror on all her inhabitants. So this is a dirge. This is a funeral song, a lamentation over the destruction of Tyre. Now, Tyre was inhabited by seafaring men. This was a renowned city, strong by the sea, right there on the coast, on the Mediterranean coast there. And so her economic and seafaring domination caused terror for all those who dwelt on the sea. They were the powerhouse. They were the ruler of the Mediterranean. Now in verse 18, a repetition of the reaction of the colonies is expressed. Verse 18, now the coastlands will tremble on the day of your fall. Yes, the coastlands which are by the sea will be terrified at your passing. So great consternation falls over all of Tyre's colonies. It's expressed over all of Tyre's colonies because of Tyre's fall. They tremble. They're dismayed. And then they descend into Sheol. And in verses 19 through 21, we get a picture of the descent of the Tyrenian people into Sheol, because many will die from the destruction of their city of Tyre. Verse 19, for thus says the Lord God, when I make you a desolate city, like the cities which are not inhabited, when I bring up the deep over you and the great waters cover you. So this is the timing of Tyre's destruction. It was fulfilled by Alexander the Great after a 7-month siege. She was brought down and sunk into the sea. Well, not literally, but great waters of Alexander's army covered her. That's the picture there. Alexander's army was one of those waves, one of those tsunamis crashing against the island city of Tyre, and he finally washed over her and destroyed her. And then the actual descent into Sheol is described starting in verse 20. Then I will bring you down with those who go down to the pit, to the people of old, and I will make you dwell in the lower parts of the earth, like the ancient waste places, with those who go down to the pit, so that you will not be inhabited. So the picture is that of a massive number of souls descending into the place of the dead, leaving Tyre empty of her population, empty, deserted, and destroyed. Now in verse 20 continues to elaborate on the results. But I will set glory in the land of the living. Well, there's a contrast. But I will set glory in the land of the living, and I will bring terrors on you, and you will be no more. Though you will be sought, you will never be found again, declares the Lord God. Now, this is a very, very important statement. I will set glory in the land of the living. That's a reference to the establishment of the Messianic kingdom, in contrast to the descent of Tyre into Sheol. In spite of Tyre's boast in verse 3, the ultimate glory will remain with Israel. It'll belong to Israel. Now, Tyre rejoiced. The people of Tyre rejoiced over Israel's fall. But that's not the end of the story. And so Tyre will become a terror. You shall no more have any being. Though they seek after you, you shall never be found again. And then we come to that question. However, Tyre exists today. Why is that? Tyre exists today. There it is. Modern Tyre. Does that sound like you'll never be found again? Well, what does this mean? This means that this prophecy must have a future fulfillment. So we're in the present in chapter 26, verses 1 through 13. But as we jump into chapter 26, verses 14 through 21, we jump ahead to the tribulation period. So this is a better explanation of verses 14 through 21. Tyre will be permanently destroyed during the tribulation period. That makes more sense because Tyre is obviously there now. She has not been permanently destroyed as yet. Now, as we enter chapter 27 at this point, we continue with the lamentation over Tyre in verses 1 through 36. And remember, we're in the tribulation period in verses 14 through 21. But now, as we get into chapter 27, verses 1 through 33, we continue looking at the lamentation of ancient Tyre. You know, it's the near future to Ezekiel. Remember, Ezekiel is in 586 BC here with the destruction of the city of Jerusalem by Babylon. And now we're looking ahead into the near future as Tyre is going to be destroyed. Destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar after a 13-year siege and eventually destroyed by Alexander the Great. So we're looking ahead now into the near future again. And as we look ahead, we're going to look at the great ship Tyre, the great ship Tyre in verses 1 through 11. So we have a new subject in verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, new revelation, new subject, and the subject is the lamentation in verse 2. And you, son of man, take up a lamentation over Tyre. This is Ezekiel's lamentation now. And a lamentation, of course, is a funeral song. And it begins with the position of Tyre in verses 3 and 4. And say to Tyre, who dwells at the entrance of the sea, merchant of the peoples to many coastlands, thus says the Lord God, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty, and your brothers are in the heart of the seas. Your builders have perfected your beauty. Well, her position is that a very strategic position on the Mediterranean there, right on the eastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, where trading caravans from Africa and from the Arabian Peninsula and from Mesopotamia can all come and join at Tyre and trade with her. So she's in a very strategic position on the Mediterranean Sea. And then she can send all that loot out across the Mediterranean to her colonies, and they can buy and sell and trade with the peoples near her colonies. She's in a great position. So she's the merchant of peoples unto many islands. So her purpose was the control of commerce across the Mediterranean through the colonies. Remember the map I showed you? Through the colonies. And her boast, O Tyre, you have said, I am perfect in beauty. She knew she sat in a good position, and she was very, very prosperous. Now, this statement reflects Tyre's desire to take over preeminence from Jerusalem. She didn't want any competition from Jerusalem. I am perfect in beauty. And by the way, this statement, I am perfect in beauty, will also be used of Satan in chapter 28, verse 12. We'll get to chapter 28 pretty soon, and we'll look at that. So, she has a strategic position. Her purpose is to control the commerce across the Mediterranean. And her description then comes. The city proper was an island. She's in the heart of the seas. She's in the heart of the seas. The main citadel was in the Mediterranean on island Tyre. And then her success is described. Your builders have perfected your beauty. Now the builders are the leaders who built up the massive economic power of the city. And at this point, Tyre is pictured as a ship. And first of all, the building of the ship is discussed in verses 5 through 7. They have made all your planks of fir trees from Senir. They have taken a cedar from Lebanon to make a mast for you. Of oaks from Bashan, they have made your oars. With ivory, they have inlaid your deck of boxwood from the coastlands of Cyprus. Your sail was of fine embroidered linen from Egypt, so that it became your distinguishing mark. Your awning was blue and purple from the coastlands of Elisha. So the picture here is of the best quality ship you could ever build. picture the best quality ship, the most superior ship, one with superior construction. And so she's described. The planks. The planks are from fir trees of Senir, the very best wood. The mast, a cedar from Lebanon, tall and straight, the very best wood you could use for a mast. The oars are the oaks of Bashan, the best wood possible because it's hard and strong. The benches are the decking. They've been inlaid with ivory. And ivory work was highly developed in Tyre. So the construction is not only high quality, but it's beautiful as well. The sail, fine linen from Egypt. This fine linen from Egypt was the best cloth available. We're told it's a finer weave than our modern machine woven linen. The awning that covered the shaded the ship was a blue and purple. These are royal expensive colors. And it came from the Isle of Elisha from Cyprus. And so Tyre is pictured as the highest quality ship afloat, built of the best products from the Middle East. You couldn't do anything any better if you were building a ship. But now the description of the ship goes on to describe the people involved with the ship. We start with the sailors in verses 8 and 9. These are the men who made Tyre into the economic powerhouse that she was. In verse 8, we talk about the rowers. The inhabitants of Sidon and Arvad were your rowers. These were the strong men who powered the ship when there was no wind. In the second part of verse 8, the pilots, your wise men, O Tyre, were aboard. They were your pilots. The pilots guided the ship. They were the navigation experts. In verse 9, the elders of Gebal and her wise men were with you repairing your seams. These are the caulkers. These are the ones who maintained the ship. And so these were wise men. They were experienced craftsmen that could do a top flight job keeping the ship in top flight condition. These were the ones who repaired leaks and fissures in the hull. Then in verse 9, we come to the mariners. All the ships of the seas and their sailors were with you in order to deal in your merchandise. So these are the ships of Tyre's fleet that traveled all over the Mediterranean Sea and made Tyre filthy rich, provided her with all her wealth. So Tyre was not only a seagoing powerhouse, but she had to protect herself as well. She was a tempting target. And so she had an army, and two elements made up her army. In verse 10, we come to the mercenaries, Persia and Lut and Put. Persia and Lut and Put were your army, your men of war. They hung shield and helmet in you. They set forth your splendor. So these are the mercenaries. These are soldiers for hire who protected the suburbs. Where did they come from? Well, they came from Persia. Persia is first mentioned here because Persia is now coming to power. It's beginning to rise in power and strength. And today Persia is modern-day Iran. Now Lud or Libya would be in North Africa, on the coast of North Africa. So mercenaries came from there. And then Put, this is the Egyptian punt. And this was located, area was located on the African coast of the Red Sea. So they apparently traveled up the African coast to Tyre to become the mercenaries. These were your men of war, your hired men. And they set forth your beauty and strength. They protected your beauty and your strength. So the first part of the army, the first element of the army are these mercenaries. The second part of the army is the native guard in verse 11. The sons of Arvad and your army were on your walls all around, and the Gamadim were in your towers. They hung their shields on your walls all around. They perfected your beauty. So these are the soldiers, the local soldiers, who protected the city itself. Now, who are these men? Well, we begin with men of Arvad are on your walls. So Arvad was just north of Tyre. They were in the same locality. And then the Hebrew talks about the Gamadim in the towers. Now, we're not exactly sure what this word Gamadim means. It could be translated, there were men of valor in your towers, which is quite appropriate. Or it could be a place name, and they were men from Gamad. Now, we don't know where Gamad might be, but apparently if it is a location, a place name, then it was located very near to Tyre, because these are the local soldiers that defended Tyre. Okay, so Tyre now, in summary, was a glorious, tremendous, powerful, protected ship of state. And then, because of her power and glory, she extended her trade. She extended her economic abilities. And the first merchant to be mentioned here is in verse 12. Tarshish was your customer because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth. With silver, iron, tin, and lead, they paid for your wares. So Tarshish is a Tartessus of Spain. Now here you can see a map of the Mediterranean. And this we want to look at Tyre's trading partner here. And so the ships of Tyre would traverse the entire Mediterranean Sea, even to the city of Tarshish or Tartessus in Spain. All of this was Tyre's territory. And Tartessus was a colony known for wealth in silver and all kinds of metals, silver, iron, tin, lead. So they had a lot to offer as far as raw materials go. So they traded for Tyre's wares with their raw materials, their metal. Then we come to Yavan, Tubal, and Meshech in verse 13. Yavan, Tubal, and Meshech, they were your traders. With the lives of men and vessels of bronze, they paid for your merchandise. Now, Yavan is thought to be Greece, is Greece here on the Grecian peninsula. And then Tubal is thought at this time to be the central Turkey, what we call central Turkey today. And Meshech is thought to be western central Turkey as well. So these particular areas were traffickers. Yes, they traded in slave trade. They were especially involved in slave trade. All right, the next one mentioned is in verse 14. Those from Beit Tomarga gave horses and war horses and mules for your wares. Now, Togarma is thought to be a modern Armenia in this location. And they were noted for their horse flesh. So they would trade with horses and war horses and mules with Tyre. For Tyre's riches. Verse 15. The sons of Dedan were your traders. Many coastlands were your market. Ivory tusks and ebony they brought as your payment. Now this is probably not the Dedan in Arabia. We don't know exactly where this Dedan is located, so I've just put it in Africa here. Why? Because they were noted for their products of horns of ivory. This would speak of teeth and tusks of animals, and of ebony, which is a hard black wood. So it sounds more like an African location along the southern Mediterranean coast, maybe to the east of Lud in Libya, who knows, maybe more toward the center of Africa with trading colonies coming north, who knows. So we don't know exactly where Dedan was located, this Dedan. The next is in verse 16. Aram was your customer because of the abundance of your goods. They paid for your wares with emeralds, purple, embroidered work, fine linen, coral, and rubies. So Aram is Syria, located just to the north of Tyre. And they traded for Tyre's wares with luxuriant, costly products. A lot of jewels, precious stones, emeralds, purple, fine linen, coral, rubies. So they brought those products into Tyre. And then Judah and Israel were involved. Verse 17. Judah and the land of Israel, they were your traders. With the wheat of Minit and cakes and honey and oil and balm, they paid for your merchandise. So they were also involved with Tyre. And of course we know that Judah and Israel were located just south of Tyre. And their most precious products were agricultural products, wheat, honey, oil, balm. So those materials went to Tyre in trade for Tyre's goods as well. In verse 18, we come to Damascus. Damascus was your customer because of the abundance of your goods, because of the abundance of all kinds of wealth, because of the wine of Helbon and white wool. So Damascus was a prominent city, basically east of Tyre. And their chief products were wine and wool. When we come to verse 19, we come to Vedan and Yavan, paid for your wares from Uzal. Wrought iron, cassia, and sweet cane were among your merchandise. Now, where are these places? Well, Vedan, we don't have an idea where Vedan was located. Some think it was in Arabia, maybe Aden, which is a city on the southern tip of Arabia, but we really don't know. That speculation. Yavan is also unknown. This is not the same Yavan as in verse 13. This is not Greece. Some think it might be Yemen, down near the southern tip of Arabia. So we really don't know again. Vedan and Yavan are unknown. But they traded with yarn for your wares. Okay, so they traded with iron and cassia and calamus. And now we come to verse 20 and Dedan. Dedan traded with you in saddle cloths for riding. Now, we know that there's a Dedan in Arabia. So this is not the same Dedan as I think in Africa in verse 15. And they were a trafficker. Their notable product was precious cloths for riding horses. Verse 21, Arabia and all the princes of Kedar, they were your customers for lambs, rams, and goats. For these were your customers. So, of course, Arabia and Kedar are located in the Arabian Peninsula. And they would send merchant caravans up to Tyre. And their principal product was livestock, lambs, rams, goats. Verse 22, the traders of Sheba and Ra'amah, they traded with you. They paid for your wares with the best of all kinds of spices, with all kinds of precious stones and gold. And so we're not sure where, well, yes, we're fairly sure that Sheba and Ra'amah were located in the southern Arabian Peninsula. So they would send, because the Queen of Sheba came from the western tip there of Arabia. And of course she sent trading caravans north to Jerusalem, and then of course they could just travel a few miles further on to get to Tyre. So their chief products were spices and precious stones and gold, Sheba and Ra'amah. Now, Mesopotamia is next. Now, Mesopotamia is just a generic title for the area east of the Euphrates River. And so we learned who these customers are in Mesopotamia. Verse 23. Haran, Kaneh, Aden, the traders of Sheba, Ashur, and Chilmad traded with you. So these are various areas in Mesopotamia. Haran is near Syria. Kaneh is unidentified. Eden is Bit Adani in Babylonia. Sheba is in Babylonia. Ashur is Assyria. And Chilmad is unidentified. But they all were customers of Tyre. And their merchandise, verse 24, they traded with you in choice garments, in clothes of blue and embroidered work, and in carpets of many colors with tightly wound cords, which were among your merchandise. So their choice wares basically were cloth and apparel. So Tyre, we get an idea of the extent of Tyre's influence over these many, many, many trading partners that were willing to bring their wares to her and receive from her riches. And now our attention is turned to the ships of Tarshish in verse 25. The ships of Tarshish were the carriers of your merchandise, and you were filled and were very glorious in the heart of the seas. So this is a reference to Tyre's merchant navy that made her the center of world commerce, the center of the Mediterranean world's commerce. But the great ship Tyre, as magnificent and powerful and influential as she was, faced shipwreck in verses 26 through 36. In verse 26, we come upon the storm of destruction. Your rowers have brought you into great waters. The east wind has broken you in the heart of the seas. Now, this reference to great waters means stormy waters. That's the idea. Stormy waters. And accompanied by this east wind, the stormy waters and the east wind, which was probably Babylon, because she was located in the east and the first destroyer of Tyre. The wind and the waters destroyed the strong city of Tyre. Again, this is probably Nebuchadnezzar because it comes from the east. This is not a reference to Alexander the Great, who destroyed the island city of Tyre, because he was to the west and to the north. So this is probably a reference to the first invasion by Nebuchadnezzar. And so the ship goes down in verse 27. Your wealth, your wares, your merchandise, your sailors, your pilots, your repairers of seams, your dealers in merchandise, and all your men of war who are in you, with all your company that is in your midst, will fall into the heart of the seas on the day of your overthrow. So, of course, we're talking about Tyre as a great ship here. And it reminds me of the RMS Titanic. You remember the Titanic? It was the top flight, luxurious ocean liner of the day. Unsinkable, the unsinkable Titanic. It was beautifully built, exceptionally done. And it was very proud as it sailed out of, I believe this is London Harbor, out of one of the harbors there, I think in England. And then she crossed the Atlantic at a high speed, breaking record. She was just doing great. And as we look at the content of the great ship Tyre, God describes, first of all, her products, her riches, her wares, her merchandise. He mentions her people, your mariners, your pilots, your caulkers, your dealers of merchandise, you know, your businessmen. He mentions her protection, all your men of war. This is the armies they had. Everything that made the great ship Tyre fantastic and influential and rich, everything that made the ship great cannot prevent its destruction, just like the Titanic. Everything that made the RMS Titanic great could not prevent her destruction. She was supposed to be unsinkable, and on her very first voyage, down she went. Down she went. So we come to verse 28 and the sinking of Tyre. At the sound of the cry of your pilots, the pasture lands will shake. So as the mother city collapses, the daughter cities are who are all deriving their wealth from her, are terrified. And so we come across the lamentation of the traffickers, the lamentation of the traders, those who traded with Tyre. First of all, they disembark. They have to disembark from the sinking ship in verse 29. All who handle the oar, the sailors, and all the pilots of the sea will come down from their ships. They will stand on the land. So this is the disembarkation of the ship's passengers. They abandon Tyre. They seek safety on the shore, like passengers fleeing the Titanic in their lifeboats, like rats deserting a sinking ship. And here we go. The great ship Tyre is going down. And here we have a lifeboat filled with mariners, pilots, merchandisers, all those who kept the great ship afloat. They had to desert her. And then in verses 30 and 31, we hear the mourning. They lament. And they will make their voice heard over you and cry bitterly. And they will cast dust on your head, on their heads. They will wallow in ashes. Also, they will make themselves bald for you and gird themselves with sackcloth, and they will weep for you in bitterness of soul with bitter mourning. And this is all that's described in verses 30 and 31 are Middle Eastern mourning practices, crying bitterly, casting up the dust, wallowing in the ashes, shaving their hair, putting on sackcloth. They're all bitter mourning, bitterness of soul, all Middle Eastern practices. And then the words of the mourning, the lamentation itself, verse 32. Moreover, in their wailing, they will take up a lamentation for you and lament over you. Who is like Tyre, like her, who is silent in the midst of the seas? You know, who is like Tyre? She was so unique, and now she is silent. She's gone. This unique, unique city, gone. And we come to the results of all this in verses 33 through 36. And this is a summary. This is a summary of Tyre's career. We start in the past with the glory of Tyre in verse 33. When your wares went out from the sea, you satisfied many peoples. With the abundance of your wealth and your merchandise, you enriched the kings of the earth. So here we're describing her past state. Tyre was a great ship built by commercial prowess. Great, beautiful, powerful, and prosperous. But then she fell, and now they lament about her present state in verse 34. Now that you are broken by the seas and the depths of the waters, your merchandise and all your company have fallen in the midst of you. So the great ship sank because of two reasons. First of all, the weight of her wealth. The weight of her wealth did what? It attracted invaders. It attracted the east wind. It attracted Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon in verse 26. So her great wealth was also her great undoing. Now, I would not limit the fall of Tyre simply to ancient Babylon. Remember back in chapter 26, verse 3. We see that Tyre's wealth attracted many, many conquerors, like the waves of the sea, pounding up against her rocks. But each time she was conquered, she rose again. She rose again. And so I think her final destruction awaits the tribulation period. So in verses 1 through 33, we're in the near future. But I believe in verses 34 through 36, we're looking at the tribulation period. And we're looking at Tyre's true and final destruction, where she will never rise again. And so now we look at the reactions by the inhabitants and the kings of Tyre's final destruction. Verse 35. And all the inhabitants of the coastlands are appalled at you, and their kings are horribly afraid. They are troubled in countenance, so they're astonished. These, again, are those colonies located all around the Mediterranean. And the kings are horribly afraid. These are the leaders of the colonies. They're troubled. It shows in their faces. They are really down. And then the merchants are likewise appalled. The merchants among the peoples hiss at you. They hiss at you. This means they whistle in astonishment. Whoosh, wow, look at that. Tyre's been destroyed. Whoosh, wow, that's what they're doing. They're hissing in astonishment. And so now we come to the conclusion in the last part of verse 36. You have become terrified. You will cease to be forever. So Tyre is terrified by her own downfall, and she's never more going to have any being. She's going to cease forever. But she still exists today. There's a satellite picture of modern Tyre today. And so her final and complete destruction, as mentioned in this chapter, must await the tribulation period. And as a result, there will be no city of Tyre in the kingdom. Now, could this chapter indicate that the city of Tyre will rise to economic prominence once again? I mean, look at it. Look at it there. It's just a tourist trap today. It's nothing great today. It's just a tourist trap sticking out into the Mediterranean. Popular place for people to go to vacation. Could she rise to tremendous economic prominence once again, only to be judged and destroyed during the tribulation? Perhaps. Only time will tell. We need to keep our eye on Tyre and see how she goes, see what happens. Well, look at my time. We are now at chapter 28. And it looks to me like about 54 minutes of this class have passed. And in chapter 28, we start with examination of the Prince of Tyre. And the Prince of Tyre, this is a new revelation, a new subject, a very important subject. So I think I'll call it quits. I think I'll let you go early. I think I'll let you go early this session. And we'll pick up our story in about the Prince of Tyre next session. I think you'll find it incredibly amazing. We're not only going to look at the Prince of Tyre, we're also going to look at the King of Tyre, someone much more powerful and much more devious than the human king of Tyre. So there's a little hint for you, right? Okay. All right. Well, I'm so glad you wish to study the Word with us. I think the Word of God is an amazing resource we all have. All right. We'll see you next session. Lehi Throot.